Records go back as far as the Han Dynasty from 2,000 years ago, showing that same-sex love was not only tolerated and accepted, but the Han emperors kept boys, many of them. And the first scribes of Chinese history wrote official records of the emperor's love lives, often with young men. So homosexuality in China was not an identity, as it is now in more modern times. Nowadays, you're gay if you have homosexual sex. Well, these men weren't gay. Most of them were heterosexual. They had wives and families, and it was an accepted thing that they might also have male lovers. There was no stigma attached to it, no religious sense that homosexuality is a sin. So as long as men met their familial obligations, if their wives bore them children and they took care of their family, it was fine if they had homosexual sex on the side. China's most revered novel by far is Dreams of Red Mansions, and it contains at least three or four stories of same-sex love between men and same-sex love between women. In the Qing Dynasty, which that's a huge dynasty, it lasted from 1644 to 1912, the literati, the wealthy, and many government officials carried on affairs with young men, sometimes quite out in the open. And this soared, this really took off in the latter half of the 19th century. The Beijing Opera was created, and a large pool of boy actors became available, most of them teenagers, and they were called song boys, and they often wore female clothing. And this was really the golden age of same-sex love, especially in Beijing, the home of Beijing Opera. We began to see a crackdown on homosexuality under the Qing. They instituted several laws banning homosexuality, but the truth was they were poorly enforced, and there rarely were serious punishments for gays. The real turning point was after the Second Opium War around 1860, and that's when Western notions of homosexuality began to seep into the country. Missionaries came in and they taught that same-sex love was a psychological disorder and a sin, something really terrible. The Qing government at that time was traumatized because they lost that war. They began to study Western ways of thinking. They wanted to know, how did the West so easily defeat us? And in doing so, they became increasingly intolerant of homosexuality, of adultery. They became sexually much more conservative. So homosexuality was banned altogether. But as I said, it couldn't really be stopped. And there were song boys that you could find in Beijing as late as the 1930s. If perceptions of homosexuality under the Qing began to go dark, under Mao, they went absolutely black. For Mao, homosexuality was a form of Western spiritual pollution, one of his favorite phrases, and it had to be stamped out. And for all intents and purposes, it was. There were nearly no ways for lesbians and men, gay men, to meet. Men could meet only in public toilets or parks. There was no internet, no way they could find each other. If they were caught in the toilets or the parks, they were treated as criminals, and they were usually fined and often fired from their work groups, and that made them a persona non grata for the rest of their lives. It was truly a hellish experience. So this was definitely the darkest time in China's history of same-sex love, a miserable time for men and women who didn't even know there were others like them, who believed they were unique and that something was wrong with them. Persecution of gays as hooligans and as mentally ill continued in the 1980s, all the way up through the 1980s. That all changed in the early 1990s when homosexuality was decriminalized and removed from the list of psychiatric illnesses. Gay bars began to spring up in the early mid-1990s, and a real gay community began to form, at least in the larger international cities. Unfortunately, homosexuality still carries a big stigma in China, and well over 80% of these gays, men and women, will marry, which is tragic not only for them, but for their spouse.